And good morning, everybody. Getting rid of my static electricity here. I have a couple of announcements. For those of you who like to read your own announcements, there's usually an insert in your bulletin with all sorts of useful and excellent information on upcoming meetings, things like the sanctuary remodeling, an upcoming UU orientation, and so forth. So if you be sure to take a look at those and see those upcoming events, read about them. I also have an announcement that any families of potential singers in the children's choir, could you please see Michelle after the service today? Michelle, could you wave your hand? So we're looking for more singers in the children's choir. If you've got kids that you want to throw into that, see Michelle. And Amy has an announcement as well.
I'd really like to thank everyone who came yesterday and participated in our 2020 Vision Quest, and thank you, Abby, for the suggestion on that one. It was marvelous. So we did the first part of helping us find our mission and vision for the next 5 years. It was a long morning, but a productive and wonderful one, so thank everyone who came. And if you didn't get to come yesterday, we are going to be offering it one more time. I don't have that date yet, but please feel free to join us. To worship means to consider that which has worth. Today we consider with gratitude the many gifts of this community. The opportunity to be affirmed in who we are and to offer that affirmation to others. The chance to stand up together to help remake the world in the ideal of justice. The freedom to choose one's own path to truth. And to learn from the travelogues of others, the space to expand one's own spirit and to reconnect after busy or humdrum weeks with the sustaining truths of one's life, regular reminders that we must see our world through the lens of love, and the aspiration to consider all life as precious, for if it is all made of stardust, how can it not be wondrous? So this morning, let's welcome all of these gifts with gratitude, for they have been paid for with many currencies. The blood of the martyrs who died so that we can be free in our religion. the sweat of those who persisted in justice's name against hostility and adversary, the tears of those who struggle to build better lives for those in this life, the questions of our children as they understand the world anew and offer their understanding to us as a fresh lens, the laughter and joy of those giddy with the embrace of community, the dollars and cents of those who gave what they could and then stretched a little more, the infinite small acts of service that make all of the parts greater than the whole, done by those who know themselves to be in sympathy with our purpose. So today we consider with gratitude and humility what it means to pay forward what has been paid forward for us. And now with all of this, let us enter into worship with gladness in our hearts. Come and let us worship here together. If you have not joined us for worship before and this is your first service with us, please know that this is our annual stewardship service. So while you will hear money and giving mentioned throughout this service, this is one time a year. We promise you. This is not a weekly thing. So please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor today.
We light this fire of generosity and caring. From what we get, we can make a living. What we give, however, makes a life. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, number 1017, Building a New Way, in the teal hymnal. And Nancy will play all the way through at once, and then we'll all join in. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. And apparently we can rock out early in the morning, too. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Whether you were raised on Star Trek, or Star Wars, or Stars on Ice, or by ice fishermen who looked at the stars, you are welcome here. Whether you identified with Scotty or Uhura, with Picard or Sisko, Quark or Worf, Data or Kirk, Spock chief science officer or doctor, or whether you have never been assimilated and have no idea what that list of names might refer to, you are welcome here. No matter who you love or what pronouns you use, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. You can place yourself in constant communication via your subspace communicator, computer, or cell phone by liking and following Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information with activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Now please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all of your electronics you may have here with you today. And please do not have Scotty beam you up during the service. Again, welcome to all here this morning. We're so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
Good morning. This song is called All About Money, which is what we do with money every week. The guests don't believe any. And then the place in the chorus is where you're invited to sing along. So when I sing It's All About Money, then you say All About Money. When I sing It's All About Money, you sing It's All About Money. And the third time I say It's All About Money, don't sing. Because if you do, you'll be stepping in my line or embarrassing yourself. By the way, I wrote this song about 12 or 13 years ago, I'm trying to remember, when we only had about 30 adult members, and we had, I think, at least 35 kids. And we were busting at the same time, the Little Presbyterian Church in Wales, and which is really convenient for me, because I live in Wales, but that's a different story. And we had evening services and no minister, and look what's happened since then. And that's the year I wrote the song, so coincidence? Just pay attention, yeah. We got real nice people, no brain dead creed. We got lots of cool kids we don't have to mislead. We're in the compassion, word and deed. It's just one thing we still need. It's all about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money. Why we ain't got none? We could recruit some new members or one really rich guy. Buy a lot of chicken. The guys might provide. Wait for a miracle. Hey, pigs might fly. Get it from our wills when we die, die, die. It's all about money.
All about money.
You hear this good man speaking out to you. Now let the power of Jesus flow through you. Give to this church. I said give to this church. Let your spirit flow freely and give to this church so that we may spread the word of Jesus unto the people.
We're
going
to miss you next year. And the church says that we ought to give them some. Truth is, without it, we wouldn't have one. So take out your checkbooks, let the blue ink run. The 2 to 4 zeros after the one. It's all about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money. Now give your church some. One more time. Yeah, it's all about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money.
All about money. Give your church some.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Will. I don't know how many years you've been waiting to do that one. One of the ways that we care for the community around us is by contributing to the local food pantries every month. We contribute financially and through the collection of food items that we donate. So if you've brought food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service, or ask a child to bring them forward for you, and I invite the children to stay up front for a story. My, what big children we have. Well, good morning. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about why everybody matters and why every little bit matters. So our story starts out somewhere very much like this. Not too long ago, there was a village in Wisconsin, and it was very, very cold and very, very snowy. And no one was very rich, and no one was very poor. They were all just people, just like you. And one night, a man came to town, and all he was wearing was his underwear. He was out in the snow, and he had no shoes and no socks and no hat and no coat. And his underwear weren't that good looking either. And he came to the first door in the village, and he knocked. And one of the kids answered the door and said, "Hello?" And the man said, "Well, as you can see, I'm kind of cold. Do you have any clothes that I can have?" And the kid thought, "Oh my goodness, look at you." So he ran back inside and said, "Hey, Mom, there's a guy outside in his underwear that wants some clothes." His mom said, "Oh, my gosh, we don't have clothes just to give away like that. I don't have any nice clothes to give to anybody. Everything we've got's..." "No, just tell him to go away." The kid went to the door and said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any spare clothes. You'll have to go away." The man walked back out into the snow in his bare feet. His underwear were blowing in the breeze. His legs were all blue and cold. And he thought, and he thought, and he thought. So at the next door, he knocked. When the kid answered the door, he said, "Do you have a needle and thread?" That sounded kind of weird. The kid went inside and said, "Hey, Mom, some guy at the door in his underwear. He wants a needle and thread." Mom thought a minute and said, "Okay, I'll go to the door." So she went to the door and she said, "What do you want?" He said, "Nothing, nothing. Can I just have a needle and thread?" "Will you go away?" "Yeah." "Okay." She went in and grabbed a needle and grabbed a big long length of thread, and then she grabbed the whole spool and said, "Here, take it all. Just go away." "Okay." And he left holding his needle and thread. The next house he knocked. "Do you have a sock?" "What do you mean, do I have a sock? What would you do if somebody came to your door wearing their underwear, holding a needle and thread, and said, 'Do you have a sock?'" "We'll give him the sock, okay." Well, that house thought he was a little strange, but they went, "What the heck? I got a spare sock, just one." "Sure, take it. I was going to throw it away. Here, have a sock." He took his sock and he put it on his foot. So now he was wearing underwear and one sock and holding a needle and thread. He walked to the next house. "Have you got a sock?" "What do you want with a sock?" I've only got one. "See, can I have another sock? Just one sock." "Will you go away?" "Yeah, yeah, just give me one sock." What do you think they did? Gave him a sock. Went downstairs and found one they were going to throw away. And "Here you go, have a sock." He put it on. They didn't match. This one was blue and this one was red. So now he's wearing a red sock and a blue sock, and he's carrying a bunch of thread and a needle. And he walked on. You knocked on the next door. Hi, I'm wearing underwear and socks. Yes, you are. Can I have a shoe? What do you mean, can you have a shoe? Can I have a shoe? Do you have a spare shoe? I got an old boot. I'll take it. So he took the boot, and he put it on. It was bright yellow. So now he's got a red sock and a blue sock and a bright yellow boot. Needle and thread. And he walked on. And at every house, he got a little stranger. The next door, they gave him a bright pink slipper with a pom-pom. So now he's got on a yellow boot, a bright pink slipper with a pom-pom, red sock and a blue sock, and a needle and thread. The next house, they had the world's ugliest t-shirt. It was the color of barf. It had a big hole in it. He said, that's okay, I got a needle and thread, I'll take it. They said, well, we were going to throw it away. Nope, I'll take it, I'll take it. And he sat right down on the porch, and he sewed it up, and he put it on. He said, there, it looks great, with my red sock and my blue sock and my yellow boot and my slipper. The next house, they had a skirt, and he said, hey, I'm good with that. And he put it on. It was bright pink. It matched his slipper. And on he walked. And he had on a boot, and he had on a slipper, and he had on a skirt, and he had on an ugly shirt that looked like puke. But he was getting warmer. The next house he knocked, and he looked a little strange, and he said, you know, I'm dressed a little strangely. You wouldn't happen to have a coat so that I can cover some of this. And they laughed pretty hard, but they said, you know what? We do have a coat. We actually have a spare coat. Here you go. Take a whole coat. And it was kind of nice. It was a blue coat. It was a good coat. He put it on, and now he looked a little more dignified, except for the slipper and the boot. The next house he knocked, and he said, hello. As you can see, I have a very fine coat. You wouldn't happen to have a hat that went with it, would you? And they said, your shoes are... He said, don't worry about my shoes. I have a very nice coat. Well, they did have a spare hat, and they went and looked, and they found it, and they gave it to him, and he put it on. It was very large, red, had plumes. But now he had a hat, and a coat, and shoes, and a shirt, and pants. And he wasn't cold, and he wasn't wearing underwear. He tucked his needle and thread in the pocket, and he went on down the road, warm and cozy and laughing every step of the way. Every single thing people gave him was totally ridiculous. Some of it was garbage. But together, it made him warm and cozy, and it made him smile at how silly he looked, and it saved him from the cold. Every little piece matters. Every little piece that you have, every little bit that you give, when you help your mom dry off a couple of dishes, maybe when you make your bed or put your clothes away, when you help with dinner, when you donate 50 cents, every little bit matters. And we might look a little strange. We might have on a red hat with a pink skirt, one boot, one slipper, be hobbling down the road, but we're sure not going to be cold. When we put it all together, it makes something that works. So just remember, every little bit helps. Thank you guys for listening to my story today. And we're going to sing the kids to the classroom. Can I have my lantern bearer, please? May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. The song we sing to the children is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service. A rich man went to the minister and said, "I want you and your husband to take a 3-month vacation at my expense. When you come back, I'll have a surprise." Shocked, the minister accepted the offer, and she and her husband set off. 3 months later, they returned home and were met by the wealthy parishioner, who showed them the brand new church he had built for the congregation while they were gone. "It's the finest church money can buy, Reverend," the man said. "I spared no expense," and he was right. It was magnificent. But there was one weird element. There was only one pew at the very, very back. "A church with one pew?" asked the minister. "Just wait till Sunday," the man said. When the time came for the Sunday service, the early arrivals entered the church and filed into the one pew, looking a little confused, and they sat down. And when the pew was full, a switch clicked silently, a circuit closed and gears meshed, a belt moved, and the pew began to slide forward. It got to the front of the church, and it came to a full stop, and at the same time, another empty pew came up out of the floor in the back. More people sat down, and so it went, pews filling and moving forward until the church was full from front to back. "Wonderful," said the minister, "marvelous." The service began, and the minister got going. At 11, she started to preach her sermon. At 11:15, she hadn't shut up yet. 11:20, she was still talking, and suddenly a switch clicked, a circuit closed, gears meshed, a belt moved, and a trapdoor in the floor opened behind the pulpit, and the minister disappeared. "Wonderful," said the congregation, "marvelous." May I note that we are beginning some of our sanctuary remodel next week, and that our morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for all these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share together as a community our joys and our sadness. Before the service, you're always welcome to come forward and silently light a candle at the candle table. But at this point, we speak these aloud, and we light candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a microphone. I would like to light the first candle today for a sorrow. Isaac Krill passed away this week, so I would like to light this for his family, and I ask that you hold them in your hearts. His memorial will be here this coming Saturday, so please hold the Krill family in your thoughts and hearts.
This is Diane. You may have heard that Marie Brim's husband, Pete, had a massive stroke when they were vacationing in Mexico. He was aerobacked home. He's at Frederick Hospital, and he has managed to communicate, although he can't speak, that he wishes to die. So he's been taking off the ventilator, and the doctor said it'll just be a few days. So any caring thoughts and strength you can send to Marie would be much appreciated.
We light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not named aloud.
Our first reading is The Paradoxical Commandments by Dr. Kent M. Keith. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest person with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest person with the smallest mind. Think big anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you might get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway. Here ends the first reading.
A wise woman was traveling in the mountains, and she found a precious stone in a stream. She took it, put it in her bag, and the next day she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone, and being desperate, he asked the woman to give it to him. She did it without hesitation. The traveler snatched the stone and ran off, rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew that it was worth enough to give him the security of a lifetime. The wise woman continued on her way. A few days later, she saw someone coming toward her in the distance. It was the traveler. He walked to her, and he was holding the stone in his hand. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable this stone is. I'd like to give it back to you. And I'd like to ask you for something even more precious. Please, give me whatever you have inside of you that enabled you to just give me this stone. Please." Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Catherine Ingram, a co-founder of the Insight Meditation Society, writes in Passionate Presence, "The Buddha spoke about three kinds of giving, beggarly giving, friendly giving, and kingly giving. Beggarly giving is when we give the least of what we have. We give what we don't really need, what we would never miss, what we might have otherwise thrown away. Friendly giving is when we give what we use and like, not our very best, but what we can afford and might appreciate having as a gift ourselves. Kingly giving is of a different order altogether. It is when we give the very best of what we have, when we give more than we keep for ourselves, when we give more than we can afford, when we give with no expectation of reciprocity. In awakened awareness, we give because the joy of generosity far exceeds the paltry satisfaction of hoarding or displaying wealth. We give because this very life is a gift itself and wants to be completely used up, wants to spread perfume around everyone it meets." Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 30, Over My Head, and we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
talking about stewardship is never number one on any minister's hit list of favorite things to do. In fact, it is so far down the hit list that over the past several weeks, there were a group of several hundred ministers from across the country who were polled on Facebook to come up with what they would call this sermon if they were allowed to tell the truth. These are real. Their responses, and these are some of the best. We know you got it. Fork it over. Downward mobility is the new black. Cough it up, you know you're never going to retire anyway. It's this or your firstborn. Stephen put his whole sermon on here. He said it's quite succinct. You got money, we need money, give us your money, 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 money. Scott said, give us all the money, Lebowski. Daniel said, welcome to the time of year when I regularly consider quitting and entering the lucrative world of polka dancing full time. And Sarah said, whatever you're giving, shut up and add a zero. Talking about money is hard. We've spent the past almost 2 years working to be even more transparent here. And I get off easy here because I don't have to lecture people on what being generous means. Folks from this church are some of the most generous people I have ever met. So rather than lecturing you on generosity, I'm going to talk to you about Star Trek. Wisconsin, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, its continuing mission to explore strange and cold new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no church has gone before. Some of you remember the television series Star Trek and all of its incarnations and attached movies. This week, many of us are greatly saddened by the loss of Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock on Star Trek. The show was about space exploration, a wagon train to the stars, new worlds, new experiences. It imagined a galaxy where it didn't matter if you were black or white or Hispanic, but we could hate you because of the planet you came from. There was a universe populated by logical and near emotionless Vulcans, violent Klingons, fluffy pink Tribbles, godlike Q continuum members, and it awaited our brave explorers every week. And the shows often began with a captain's log or a report of the situation, and they sounded something like this. Captain's log, stardate September 1997. The Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church has been commissioned. The crew is small. We can't reach every area of the ship, but we are determined. Our ship is rented and can only fly in the evenings after the day crew has gone home. We are setting out on our voyage. Our home planet is the planet Delafield, where we have formed an alliance with the local Presbyterian tribe. The world of Star Trek was the world of our future, and week after week they brought new ideas, revolutionary in the 60s and 70s, futuristic in the 80s and 90s. Ideas like data pads, tablets, personal communicators, needleless injections, and desktop computers all came from the Star Trek franchise. But there was one thing Star Trek didn't have aside from bathrooms in the original series. They didn't have money. Not cash, not credit cards, not checks. There was no ATM on the Enterprise. Guinan served drinks at 10 forward, and she never asked you for a thing. You never saw them get paid. You never saw them pay for anything. You never knew who had millions of credits in the bank and who had nothing. No one got treated differently because of the jewelry they wore, the clothing they had on, and at times that clothing was strange. Everyone had access to the same food and drinks, the same entertainment. Some characters did have more than others, but it was never a measure of their worth as a being. The characters on the show, the beings on the ship, had worth not because this one or that one made more or paid more or did more, but because they were committed to a joint cause, the idea of boldly going together. And the loss of any one of them would have left the ship and her crew diminished, because each one played a role. Captain's log, stardate November 2000. The crew of the good ship LCUUC have found a new home planet, the planet Wales, and we've rented docking space from our allies, the Jerusalem Presbyterians. We've added on to the ship and crew, and although our captain is part-time, we're navigating well. Star Trek began as a short-lived original series in the late 60s and was revived in 1987 as The Next Generation. A few years later, Voyager appeared, the first show to welcome a female captain and her addiction to coffee. And a few years after that, Star Trek Deep Space Nine began. Deep Space Nine was different, weirder, edgier in some ways. It was the first show to feature a black commander. The first show to talk about things like religious genocide, terrorism, colonial expansion. And yes, they finally hit it. They talked about money. You see, Deep Space Nine introduced us to the Ferengi. The Ferengi were more than just greedy. Greg and his musical stylings would have been number one on any Ferengi musical chart for all time. In fact, they probably would have made you a demigod, Greg. Because they were indeed all about the money. They were played for laughs, short with huge bat ears and snaggle teeth. And they lived their lives based on religion. Unfortunately, their religious beliefs revolved around cash. Not 10 commandments or 7 principles, but 286 rules of acquisition. How to get cash, keep cash, get more cash than anyone around you. How to avoid losing cash. Their lives revolved around a cash flow. And there are times when churches can feel like I have somehow gotten sideways and wandered into the Ferengi homeworld. Give me cash. Give me more cash. You got some cash? Can you volunteer? Can you give me? Give me. Give me. How much can you give? When can you give it? Here's what we need to buy. Capital campaigns, pledge drives, stewardships, planned giving. There are times I want to bang my head and say, I'm not a Ferengi. Why can't we be nice members of the Universal United Federation of Planets? Members like Kirk and Spock, who never mentioned getting paid. I like them better. Captain's log, stardate March 2006. The crew of the LCUUC has reached 60 members, and we don't fit in our rented ship. We've resolved to go boldly where we've never gone before, and we have bought our own ship. The universe awaits us. Captain's log, stardate May 2013. The crew has reached 130 members. We're starting to fill out the new ship, and we have called our first full-time captain. Captain's log, stardate February 2015. The crew of the LCUUC has reached 150 adults, over 75 children. We're a breakthrough congregation, one of 4 in the entire UUA out of 1,100. We are one of 4 this year. and we are prepared to begin our first 5-year mission together. We have our ship and we fill it. Our classrooms have children in them. Our meeting rooms have education and classes and book studies and religious studies. Every station is occupied. We're ready to launch. We've begun meeting to see where that mission is going to take us. And unlike the Ferengi, though we have to talk about money, cash flow is not our religion. We won't be building a cathedral or a theme park. I will never get that fleet of limousines I so desperately want. But while we are not building a 10-story temple with a solid gold chalice on top, we're building something important here. We're building the world that we want to live in. This past year, we hosted for the first time Family Promise, a program that helps homeless families with children make a new start. We've supported local food pantries and the Hope Center, a local clinic. We taught children values in our children's classes. We shared the world through adult education programs. Our youth have done service trips and service projects. Our members have adopted a highway and supported a youth con. We're a growing home to others who see the value of each person in the world. And we are desperately needed in this area of Wisconsin, a place that says, not are you liberal or conservative, but can you value and believe in other human beings? Can you love the hell out of the world? Can you welcome all and truly love your neighbor as yourself? Can you understand that everyone is your neighbor? We are that place. But to remain that place, to remain that safe ship in what sometimes seems like miles of freezing space, we got to embrace a little bit of the Ferengi side. We got to talk about the money. Because this church is unlike anything else you will give to this year. It's the place where you get to say what we will do for you in return. You get to imagine a future. You get to steer the ship. UU churches are unlike the churches of some denominations. We have congregational control. You run this ship. You make the star charts. We have congregational polity. You call the minister. No one tells us how to run a church. No one controls who we call as minister or what I preach from the pulpit, and no one writes us denominational support checks. We own our churches. This is your ship. And it will take you wherever you want to go. You can shape it and change it, power it up or strip it down, put ugly bumper stickers on the back end. It's yours. But I don't think you want to strip it down. I think you want it to fly. I know that not everyone can give the same amount. Life doesn't work that way here and now. If everyone in the church could give the same amount, our budget would break down about $200 per month per adult. But real life doesn't artificially equal out that way. And equal isn't always fair. Some can give more, some less, and everyone is welcome, regardless of if you give a dollar, regardless if you give nothing. You're still welcome here. There's a wonderful resource called Ministry in Steel-Toed Shoes, and it says this: if congregants volunteered all together, and they volunteered time and donated no money, churches would cease to exist. Likewise, if everyone donated money and volunteered no time, churches would cease to exist. Both kinds of giving are important to create and sustain a vibrant and thriving religious community. Hopefully you are entering into a long relationship with this community. You may have intervals where you can volunteer more than you can donate, and other when you can donate more than you can volunteer. This is why you're asked annually to consider your pledge. This is why we bother you once a year. Circumstances change. What you're able and willing to donate may rise and fall. So how much do you give? You give in a way that reflects what the church is to you. Make a pledge to give 2 or 3% of your monthly income to the church. That makes you a church supporter. You're giving back to something that has value to you. If you make $10,000 a year, this level works out to about $20 a month. So $20 per $10,000. It's marvelous if what the church is to you is that they have what you want and you're happy to take what you need and help when you can. Makes sense. It works out about the same as eating out one time a month, going to Starbucks 4 times a month. So when I think about this, I thought, you know, wow, I eat out, 3 times a week. Boy, I'm not doing great. A sustainer pledge is higher. It says you want to keep the ship going. You want to support and create programs because it's who you are. Coming here isn't about what it does for you entirely, but what you can do to impact the world. That would be from 3 to 5%. Visionary pledging is from 5 to 9% of monthly income. You make a visionary pledge because it matters, because you are committed to a vision and a mission that includes this church and what it can do in the world. Now, I always have somebody bravely ask me about tithing. Tithing is not something we ask for. Let me be very clear. We don't ask you to tithe. Tithing is a spiritual and religious practice in and of itself. If you would make a decision to tithe, we vastly appreciate it, but I would also ask, come and talk to me about how this is part of your spiritual practice. For most people, this is not possible. It is truly welcome, but again, if you are considering tithing, do it as part of a spiritual practice and talk to me. Bill and Melinda Gates say it well when they note on their website, all lives matter. All lives matter, no matter where they are being led. They all have equal value. The bottom of their website says, to whom much has been given, much is expected. Warren Buffett is a living proof of this. One of the world's richest men, and he announced in June of 2006 that he was going even further. He announced he would be giving 85% of his fortune to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to help the foundation pursue its long-standing goal of curing the globe's most fatal diseases and improving education. He made a $31 billion gift. He said he intends to die broke, if at all possible. It's one of the largest acts of generosity in world history. No one can tell you how to give. No one gets to say that. Whether you give nothing or $31 billion, you will be welcomed and valued here. We sail through space together. In our own small way, we change the universe. We gather funds not to engage in risky business deals, but to build a church that will make a difference in our world so that we can sail among the stars. We give not to keep the lights on, though it does that, but so that we can bring light into a sometimes dark world. Amen.
We extinguish this chalice with the words of Reverend Naomi King. Love, keep challenging us to be more just, more kind, more generous, and better than we know how. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 131, Love Will Guide Us.
To go where you have not gone before. Take freely and give generously. Explore the deep places. Follow your heart. Peace, and may it be so.